This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You'd have to go back to Watergate to find something truly analogous. And we need to find a way to bring back that kind of bipartisan ethic and commitment to this investigation, which has every much as much at stake.
If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
We would be crazy to try to draw conclusions from where we are in the investigation. I think Mark and I have committed to let this process go through before we form any opinions.
I said it was the most important thing I'd ever taken on in my public life. I believe that more firmly now than even when we started.
You can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news.
Didn't even believe it when he says it. Chuck Todd joins us, Meet the Press and MTP Daily on MSNBC. And Chuck, let's forget about Russia for a second and talk about what's really important. That'd be your final four predictions.
This is the first time I've never had a Final Four out of one team in my pool. So I don't know what good my predictions are. I had Arizona beat Kentucky. That can't happen, right? That's okay.
No, I had Arizona winning it all as well, but I somehow managed to – I think I pulled North Carolina still. I gave up a while ago. But anyway, let's go.
I'm a big ACC fan. I watch a lot of ACC basketball. North Carolina is the best team in the country whenever they want to be, and that's the problem. It's whenever they want to be. My assumption is they blow Oregon out, and it is an absolute nail-biter against whoever wins that other game. I'm done picking against Gonzaga, but I still would rather – I think Frank Martin's one of the best, most underrated coaches in the game.
The head coach of South Carolina is sort of, for reference point – if you haven't seen him, he's a combination of Ditka and Joel Quenneville on a basketball court. At any point, he looks like the authorities may have to arrest him.
I have a soft spot for him because he's a Miami boy. Look, man, the guy came. He had to work his way up through the blue-collar way of coaching ranks. High school, small college assistant, you know. He did it the hard way, so I admire it.
I think it's a South Carolina-North Carolina final.
That's my gut, too, and I bet you it's absolutely a much closer game than it should be.
Well, could be entertaining, and I'm going with North Carolina, and
me too.
And that seems to be the money play. All right, so let's go back to the end of America as we know it, and that's the continuing fight over whether Russia's real or isn't. I think we probably put the isn't part of that away. The Senate Intelligence Committee is going to meet today. They look like they're actually going to try to get along, but the House Intel Committee looked like that a while ago, too. Do we have more faith in these guys?
I have more faith because of who's on the Senate Intel Committee. You have guys like Marco Rubio, who's been pretty aggressive and pretty outspoken on the Russia threat. You've got a couple of James Lankford, who's also a no-nonsense kind of guy. It is just that, look, the House Intel Committee was filled with Trump supporters and sort of Trump defenders. You don't have that in the Senate Intel Committee.
And going forward on the House side, I don't know what happens first.
I think it's done. I think that House, which may have been Devin Nunes' whole goal. You know, if his goal was to essentially scrap the ability of the House Intel Committee to conduct an investigation, he succeeded. I'm starting to wonder if that really was the true goal here.
Yeah, well, that's something I thought about and brought. I think I brought it up last week. Is maybe he doesn't want to be a part of potentially taking down this guy, taking down President Trump?
I think a lot of those guys don't. I mean, I've always thought that the reason why we're still likely to see some sort of 9/11 commission is because there's going to be a point where Republicans are going to be uncomfortable having to do the hard work on Capitol Hill, that it's politically too hard for them to do it. So they'll feel more comfortable letting somebody else do it.
There's a lot of terminology that gets floated around with special select committees and things of that nature. The formation of those take a while, right? I mean, if it goes that route?
They can. They only take a while if one side wants to drag its feet.
Okay.
Look, I think all of this is going to depend. I've always thought that it goes hand in hand. If Mitch McConnell decides Donald Trump's a problem for the Republican Party, then you're going to see a lot more Republican cooperation on the Russia investigation. If they think he's an asset, you're going to see a lot more faux cooperation, but dragging their feet to get to wherever they need to go. It really, to me, is interlinked between sort of the political standing of Trump on any given day.
The people elected Trump by way of the Electoral College. However, the Republicans have it their own way because, you know, let's start beating around the bush here and start talking about the elephant in the room. If Mike Pence were to become president of the United States before this four-year term is up, that is not necessarily a bad thing for the Republican enterprise as it stands now. And those conversations have to be going on.
Well, I don't think the conversation happens. I think it happens more mediocre than Democrats, to be honest, than it does on the Republican side. But look, Pence would be a traditional Republican president if he were president. Much more, probably more on the conservative spectrum, a little more conservative than George W. Bush, but it would be more within the traditional bounds of expectations of what you would have for a conservative Republican presidency. And I don't know if that unites, as we learned, Trump won because he wasn't an orthodox conservative Republican. Right, Trump attracted a certain group of voters who weren't big fans of the Freedom Caucus wing of the party, and who sort of like they weren't fans of small government. They wanted government to work better for them. So, and I think we saw that. I think the president's correct ear for that group of voters, and why he was so intent on pulling the plug on health care. I think we've seen the divide.
Andrea, you and I were talking about Ivanka. Well, say hi to Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. I'm good.
Excellent. You know, we were talking about Ivanka before and her new unpaid, I guess, appointment, if you will. I don't have a huge problem with that. I mean, she's her father's right hand anyway. I don't think it's a bad thing. Do you think Republicans are going to have more of an issue with this because, you know, she and her husband are Democrats?
Well, that's been the issue. You hear about it. Yeah. The White House is basically split into really three factions.
Yeah.
You know, the Ivanka Jared Democrat faction, the New Yorkers. You have the Bannon faction, sort of the outsiders. And then you have the establishment faction, the Reince Priebus group. And Pence very carefully doesn't fully align himself with the Priebus group, but that's where his instincts are. Just a little more conservative side. I think he's got a competency issue with Priebus. But there's three factions in that White House. But I'm with you on Ivanka. Look, if that's who the president wants advising him, you know, it's his daughter. She could be an informal advisor, or at least we can know she's an advisor. I think it's better for the public that we see it rather than they hide it.
Yeah, they take it, they formalize it, and it's fine. All right, we'll let you go on this. The pattern here, the modus operandi seems to be create chaos and then throw something up that looks interesting, whether it's another executive order or not. What's next for the Trump machine, Cirque du Soleil, Cirque du Trump? What are they going to do next?
Well, I think right now they're going to get out of the way of Neil Gorsuch. I think that's the first win he's going to have, his first deliverable. That's next week. Honestly, it's going to be an utter mess. And unfortunately, I don't think the public realizes what's about to happen. The United States Senate is going to change forever. You know, the filibuster is going to go away. There's going to be finger pointing. Oh, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Honestly, it's just something that's been happening for 20 years. And you could say it's inevitable. But the unintended consequence of what's going to happen in the United States Senate, and they scrap the filibuster for the Supreme Court justice, is going to change our judiciary for good. And I think it's going to be a problem. I mean, you think we've hollowed out the political center in American politics? Now we're going to do it to the judiciary. And that is not healthy. We are going to have only far left and far right judges going forward because both sides are going to be able to get whatever they want. There's never going to be a need to woo the middle in the United States Senate anymore. And that is going, I think that's going to be problematic long term.
Couldn't agree more.
The Trump administration, I think, gets out of the way of that because they'll get their Gorsuch victory. And that's all that'll be focused on.
It's Chuck Todd, MTP Daily and Meet the Press. You want to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of Gorsuch. We'll be talking about that bitter fight in the Senate. likely I'll be talking to the top guys on both sides. Not 100% confirmed yet, but that's the goal here, at least the top leaders on both sides. And we'll see if they can avert destroying the Senate as we know it. That's all.
That's
dun,
all.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's all. Yeah, just exactly. Another weekend.
How's that for a tease? Will they avert destroying the Senate as we know it? No, at 11.
All right, Chuck. Thanks. See you later. That's Chuck Todd.